Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, December 10th, 2023. Pastor Paul Talberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
We have to first of all listen, because he is going to be reading what we're going to be talking about today. He's going to be right over at the bench, and he's going to be reading. Okay, so you have to listen to what he says, okay?
Now you threw me another curveball.
Oh, well, that's my job.
Which am I reading?
A sermon text.
Sermon text, perfect, okay, just making sure.
My friends,
here is one thing you must remember. In the Lord God's mind, one day and 1,000 years are the same. For him, 1,000 years is like a single day. The Lord is not being slow to do what he has promised to do. Some people may think that he is being slow to do it, but he's being patient with you. He does not want to destroy anyone. He wants all people to turn away from the wrong things that they do. The great day of the Lord will suddenly happen. That will surprise people, like when someone comes to rob them. There'll be a very loud noise in the sky, and the whole sky will go away. Fire will burn the whole universe and will destroy everything. The earth and everything that people have made then will become clear. Certainly God will destroy everything in this way one day. So think about how you should live now. You should be the kind of people that God is happy about. You should show that you belong to God. Yes, you should continue to obey God while you're waiting for Christ to return. God has chosen that day. Try to live in a way that will make that day come soon. On that day, fire will burn the whole sky. The sky will no longer be there. Heat will destroy the universe, but God has promised to make a new sky and a new earth. That is what we're waiting for. That will be a home for everything that is good and right. So, my friends, live in a good way, because you are waiting for these things to happen. Try very much to do what makes God happy. Then when you meet God, he will see that you are clean. He will see that there is no trouble in your minds.
Thank you, Mr. Krug. And now I'm going to be using this to help, hopefully, you understand a little bit more so you can explain it to somebody else. What's this? What is this? Yeah. It's a robe. And it's in a plastic container, which tells you that it was cleaned. Remember last week I said I didn't have a robe because I had to have it cleaned. Well, guess what? It's clean now, okay? And I have to be careful. See, I stay in the plastic wrapper here. I keep it clean, okay? And I'm cleaning it up because at Christmas time, I like to wear this robe. I like to wear a robe because it reminds me that, oh, Jesus took away all my sins. It's so cool. It's a nice little picture. I have here something else to remind us of what something else has come up. This is a wonderful little Christmas box. I'm telling you it's a Christmas box because it's from my house. It had Christmas presents in it and Christmas decorations, so I know it was there. Here are some Christmas boxes. I don't know if you like this or not, but when I was younger, I loved playing with blocks. My brother and I would play for blocks hours on end. We would make towers, and would castles, and houses, and roads, and all sorts of stuff. And we couldn't wait, because if Christmas came, we might get some more blocks. Right now, even as a grown-up, in the basement of our house, I have a huge box of wooden blocks. So whenever you come over, you can play with that if you like. And I chose these blocks because they're a good reminder. You get blocks and you can build on them. One is okay, two is better. But if you have a whole bunch, you can eventually build a whole big tower. And that's why you're going to get a box of blocks. You're going to get a block. And how do I know you're going to get a block? He's seeing it already. You can see right through it. You know it's coming. He sees it kind of through there. You can say, oh, yeah, it's kind of in there. And that is how most of the Bible was. For hundreds of years, people said, oh, yeah, it's coming, it's coming. Oh, yeah, I can see some stuff. If I look really close, I can see it. Yeah, and the guys that God chose to write the Old Testament, they told us that they went back and they studied what God told them to write because they wanted to find out when Jesus would come. And that's why I'm going to give you a block. Because you can use anything to explain to somebody about how Jesus is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He was promised thousands of years before we even came, and he kept his promise. He went to a cross, took every one of the naughty things you did. Oh, yeah, I know. You guys do naughty things. Your parents have not told me, but I know. You know how I know? Because I was a little boy once, and I did naughty things. And they're icky. And you feel really bad when you do them, but guess what? Jesus came and he said, I got that covered. I will wash it all away. I'll take care of that on the cross, and I'll let you know that I'm coming back to life again. In fact, not only will I come back to life again, but I will make sure that I take you to be with me. Did you hear Mr. Krug talk about what's coming? Jesus said he's going to have a brand new heavens, a brand new earth. We don't have any of the bad stuff with it. That's so cool. And that's what's coming. And so this, you're going to get a block today, one block, to remind you that Jesus came for you and he took all your sins away and he's coming back again. He keeps his promise. But I'm going to have this back there because I would like to take two more blocks, because when you have two blocks, you can build a little tower. And then what can happen is you can go back and you say to your friends, yeah, I went to church today, and we got some blocks. And they'll say, are you okay? You got blocks at church? And you can say, yeah. So I can tell people about Jesus. How can you use blocks to tell about Jesus? Well, it's simple. Just like Jesus is building a wonderful thing in my heart with his word, I'm going to share his word with you, and I'm going to tell you that Jesus died for you. Huh. And then what you can do is give them one of your blocks. And you can do it with two people and still have one on your own. So let's go to Jesus in prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for keeping your promise, for coming to earth, for taking away all of our sins, and guaranteeing we're coming to have a new place and a new heavens and a new earth. That's so awesome. Please continue to bless us. And we ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Now, I just, since I'm in the habit of throwing curveballs, Jack, I'm going to give you all of these. And later after church, you want to take them back there for me? And then you can see, just follow that man after church, and he'll find a place. He can give you all these. Oh, there you go. So don't lose sight of him after church, okay? Because he has your blocks. Yeah, all right, now you get my guy. As long as I speak quietly, it should work, right? I was telling somebody this morning, whenever God throws me a curveball, I always try to figure out, well, what can I do to give him glory with this curveball? I'm not a very good baseball player. I don't hit very well. And as I was thinking about this last week, I thought, well, we're getting ready for Christmas. The congregation knows, oh, Christmas, the month of December, pastor's going to lose his voice. They already know. And this year, what happened is I thought, well, why not use this, if it came, and it did, to help the children and help all of us remember that Christmas is a time that Jesus kept his promise, which was years in the making. Years. You're not talking like a month or two or 12 years or 20 years or 70 years. You're talking about hundreds of decades prepping. And when it came, it didn't look cool like this. When he kept his promise, it was way different. I'm going to read to you again. Looking back, this is what the Lord tells his apostle to write. He says, "My friends, here is one thing that you must remember. The Lord God's mind, one day and 1,000 years are the same. For him, 1,000 years are like a single day. The Lord is not being slow to do what he has promised to do." So, first thing is, God is not forgetting. We have a tendency to think that God forgets. God does not forget. God created time. He is the master of time. There is nothing that God cannot do, including the creation of time. So, if God knows that much about time, that he can create time in the beginning, he is not going to be late. Well, then, what's going on? We're told in this letter that the apostle says, God is patient with you. He's talking to a congregation, and he says, God is patient with you. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Now, just so you know how slow people are on the uptake, most of my life I thought, well, he's being patient with those people out there. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Who is this written to? This is written to Christians who already know who Jesus is. The Lord is being patient. He wants us to make sure that other people know that he is being patient, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to get to heaven. Well, how come we can't? I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, I hardly ever curse other than when I hit my thumb with a hammer. I hardly ever break the law except when I'm speeding, trying to get someplace. I hardly ever lose my temper except when the kids are just so irritating. And I hardly ever disobey any authority except when my mom and dad, they just don't get it. I'm a pretty good guy. I don't want a whole bunch of stuff. I just want a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. Yeah. And God looks at all that stuff, and he says, that's called sin in my book. And the wages of sin is death. You cannot be with me. God doesn't want that. God wants us to be with him. So he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to a knowledge of repentance. He goes on, he says, the day of the Lord will come. Okay, so being patient means don't fall asleep. Being patient means be ready. Be alert and alive. The Lord's coming back. He keeps his word. There's not a single promise of God's word that he has ever failed to do. So if he's coming back, what's going to happen on that day? I don't know if you heard Mr. Krug as he was saying these words, but they are amazing words. It says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, the heavenly bodies will burn up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. The heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. There's not going to be anything left. It's going to be burned up in a huge bonfire, but it's heaven's bonfire, which means that there's nothing on earth that's going to remain. That's kind of a scary thing. When I was in high school, the Lord let me have a, looking back now, it's a great experience. I would not wish it on anyone. But I was disobeying authority, and I was playing with fireworks when I should not have played with fireworks, on a place where I should not have been playing with fireworks. And guess what? Just like they always warn you, they did blow up in my face and my hands. I don't know if you ever had the pain of second or third degree burns on your hands and your face, but it is incredibly painful. On the last day, the fire is going to be hotter than that. Now with me, they were able to give me some relief. They sprayed some stuff on my face so that it would have not so much pain. But on the last day, when the Lord burns up everything, there's no relief unless you're by his side. The Lord is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish. Because why? He is coming back. He's going to keep his word, and all evil and all wickedness and all sin and everything connected with that will be burned up. And that's it. It says, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. Yeah. This is what's coming. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. They'll be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Behold, I'm making all things new. My friends, you have no idea how awesome heaven's going to be. I don't know if you're new to the Christian faith or if you're a long-time person in the Christian faith. I've been studying God's word for many years, and I think I have an inkling, and then you read something like this, and it's like, I got no clue. You know how God describes heaven? As a place where things are not. There is no sadness, no mourning, no pain, no heartache, no scraped knees, no bee stings, no headaches, no sore throats. I can't even imagine a place like that. Can you imagine a place where you are not even tempted to fall into sin? That's what heaven is. And God says he's making it for us. So he is coming back, number one. Number two is, everything's going to be burned up, and he's making a brand new place for us. Number three, how should you live? Number one, number two, how should I live knowing that God keeps his word? How should I live knowing that everything's going to be gone and he's making a brand new place for me? How should I live? I'm going to be in that brand new place. I should be right now letting everybody know I'm going there. My dad created everything, and he's making it all new. My dad sent his one and only son to take away the sins of the whole world, and that's what Jesus did on the cross. That's my dad, my papa, my father in heaven. And he says that on the last day, when everything's burning up, I have nothing to worry about because he has a brand new place for me. And not just for me. For you too. And not just for you. Not just for us. For everyone who believes in Jesus. We have such good news. So how should you live? Well, you can use that block again as a way to explain how you should live. You can say, well, I went to church today. Pastor gave a box to the kids. And then he said, I should live like a kid. Is it chip off the old block? That's how I should live. And they look at you like, what? So tell them. Tell them that our Father in heaven loves. And that's how come we love. Our Father in heaven forgives. And that's how come we forgive. Our Father in heaven is so merciful to me, so of course I'm going to be merciful to others. And he is kind, and he is generous, and he is gentle. So in Jesus' name, my dear friends, get those three takeaways. Get them deep in your heart. And then live them out in your life. In Jesus' name, so let us live. Amen.